So you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Sharing on something that's obviously paramount in our lives right now today, and that's the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us God's will for our life in that area, which is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Which basically means pray a lot, you know, pray a whole lot. And the question is, why does God want us to pray a lot? Well, it's because prayer is powerful, right? Prayer is powerful. It accomplishes a lot, and God wants us to do it a lot. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 13. So this verse talks about when's a good time to pray. It says, is any among you afflicted? You know, does somebody have a problem? Does somebody in trouble? Does somebody have a need? Let him pray. Is any merry? Do you have people who are happy right now, that are taken care of, that their needs are met, that they're blessed? Well, it says, let him sing psalms, right? Which is another form of prayer and praise to God, right? And so the truth of the matter is that regardless of whether you're in a really good spot or kind of in a tough spot, you should pray, right? You should either be making requests to God for whatever it is that's troubling you or someone else, or you can be praying to God and praising him and thanking him for the goodness that you have in your life, right? So too often we just think to God to pray when we're in trouble or when there's a need, right? But the Word of God says that if we're merry, if we're happy, we should be praising God too, right? We shouldn't just be giving up on praying when we're happy and everything's hunky-dory, that we should do it in both cases. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Now, a lot of the times, things are humming along and we're super blessed, and unfortunately, that tends to be when we hit the cruise control a little bit with God, right? And we forget to check in with him. And then things start to slide again, and we're like, oh, that's right. I do need God. I forgot. Right? So we want to get in the habit of remembering to pray and to foster that relationship in the good and the bad. In Mark 11, 23, this is Jesus Christ teaching his disciples. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Right? And so when you think about the extent of what Jesus Christ is using in his example here, right? Imagine just being able to uproot a mountain and throw it into the sea, right? You know, this is kind of a figure of speech here indicating just how powerful prayer is, right? That basically, if it's according to God's word, that nothing is impossible, even if it's uprooting a mountain and throwing it into the sea, right? that's not a promise in God's word that we can just start throwing mountains. But if God gives you revelation for it, then you can pray and believe that, right? And that's what he's trying to tell his disciples, is that here's the greatness of what's available as we believe and we go to God with that request. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Right? And so the key there, again, is to pray with believing. To pray with believing. So when we pray, we want to believe that we're going to receive an answer to that prayer. And in doing so, we will see great power in our lives, right? We'll see great things come to pass. It's incredibly powerful to pray with believing. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I once had a pine tree in the back of my yard that I hated so much that I prayed that God would uproot it and throw it into the Manaswan River. It never happened, but it would have been super cool to see that pine tree get flung into the river. It would have been awesome. 1 John 5, verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will. Right. So there's our clarification. It has to be according to the will of God. He hears us. He hears us. So we can have confidence that God will hear us. That he will hear us. Right? So many Christians do not believe that God is even someone that they can talk to, let alone that he is listening for them and wants to hear them, right? It says that we should be confident in that, that he hears us as we make requests to him according to his will. Go to Psalm 5, verse 1. Right? And that's a trick of the adversary, right? Because if people believe that God isn't listening, or that they're not worthy enough to have a conversation with God, or that, you know, they're just too big of a sinner, and therefore God would never listen to what they had to say, then they're going to remain powerless in their lives. And that's what the adversary wants, right? He wants powerless Christians. He's happy to have as many powerless Christians as he wants, right? Psalm 5, verse 1, says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Right? Listen to my words, God. Consider what I'm saying. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Right? And the phrase there, look up, means to wait with expectation, or to wait expectantly. Right? And so the cry here is for God to hear him and that he would expect an answer, that he would expect to receive a reply, an answered prayer from God, that he will wait until he gets that answer. Right? And so when we pray, our expectation should be the same, right? We should make a request God, and then we should sit there and wait with bated breath, waiting for him to do something amazing for us, right? Our expectation should be to receive, right? Because prayer is powerful, and God hears us. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16. And this is what God encourages from us, right? God encourages us in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, not timidly, not unexpectedly, not, you know, with hesitation, you know, doubting or wondering if God's really going to listen or pay attention, but boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right? Our expectation should be that we can just waltz right in to God's throne room and lay it on and expect to receive that help in time of need. Right? Once you set your expectation on God, it leads to boldness in continuing to come to Him. Right? His door is not closed. We just have to barge in and make that request. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, 1. This is another big key to all of this expectation. But in Luke 18, 1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. You know, this was the point of the parable he's speaking to them. That men ought always to pray and not to faint or to give up. Right? So the other key here is not only expecting an answer, but to do it with patience, right? Not to give up, right? We're on God's time. We're not dictators of when God will deliver or provide that answer. We do know that God's never late, right? But sometimes we might want that answer right away, and, you know, that's not God's intention. So we have to be patient. We can't give up. To not faint means to give up. So we have to be faithful in prayer. Not quit, but remain faithful. Right? Some people prayed and waited for a long, long time for answered prayer, but God still gave that answer. Right? How long did Abraham and Sarah wait for a child? Right? They were super old. But God delivered. God provided. Right? They just continue to believe and to not quit. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. All too often we, you know, pray for a few days, maybe a week or two, and if nothing changes, we start trying to figure out our own way in life, right? Well, that's kind of what it is to faint and to give up. Right, we have to remain faithful in our prayers. Matthew 6, verse 7. But thou, when thou prayest... Oh, sorry, verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And that's really cool to think about, right? It kind of takes the pressure off. It makes things easy for us from that perspective, right? Sometimes people think, well, I don't even know what to pray for, how to, you know, maybe they get caught up trying to think they need the perfect wording or something like that, right? Right? Or that, do I kneel or do I stand or do I sit? Like, that's not what's important to God, right? God cares about what's on your heart. If you're having a heart relationship with God, he already knows what you need before you ask for it, right? So all he cares about is that you come humbly to him with that request. It doesn't have to be with an eloquent speech or anything along those lines, right? He just wants your heart open to him and making that request, right? No pressure, which is super cool. He's just waiting for you to ask. Go to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Right? There is no right way to pray in terms of, I have to say these, you know, particular words or slogans or anything like that. Right? God wants an open relationship with you. When you talk to God in your own private prayer life, it should be more one-on-one, you know? Just like you would talk to any friend. I mean, you want to have respect and reverence for God, but he also wants to see your heart. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, upon God, for he cares for you. Right? That's what God wants. He's just sitting there waiting for you to burst into his throne room. He really wants you to give your cares to him. He cares more about you than anyone else in the world does, more than your own family, more than your best friend, right? The people who you're closest to, who love you the most, God cares more about you than even those people do. So he wants you to take those needs and throw them right to him. Because he cares for you. It delights him to be able to take care of those needs for you. Right? He's just sitting there waiting. He's hungry. He wants your cares to be cast to him. Go to James 5. A couple pages back. James 5, verse 15. And our prayers are powerful. It talks about that in James 5 here. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith or believing shall save or restore the sick. Right? We've seen that a whole bunch. My family is so thankful for all that you've done to pray for us. Right? And our restoration. Right? Your prayers do big things. It heals the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray. Pray for one another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? Accomplishes a lot, right? Our prayers are healing. Our prayers are powerful. We are to pray for each other, right? That's one of the biggest things that you can do for anyone's life is to pray for them. You'll often have no idea what to do for someone, how to help them in a situation, other than to pray for them. And that's almost always the best solution, right? To just pray for them. They're a powerful, effective force in our lives, right? So the more that we put it on and pray for each other, the more taken care of the whole body is. Go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Prayer is deliverance, it's healing. Whether that's a physical ailment, or it's mental pressures, whatever it might be, deliverance is available. By the effectual, fervent prayer, right? It's effective. And fervent means, right, to pray a lot. To stick with it. Because it's powerful. Philippians 4:6. be anxious for nothing, right? And that's sort of the mental side of it, right? Those anxieties, those mental pressures. God says, you know, don't worry. It's that simple. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. But in everything, the things that you, you know, tend to get you bound up, tend to get you anxious, those things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, similar concept. Give it to God. Cast it to God. Right? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's unfathomable, that peace of God, it's difficult to even consider or think about what the peace of God, the depth of it is. That peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you'll replace that fear and worry and doubt and anxiety with the deepest peace you'll ever find. That peace of God that's beyond comprehension. Right? That's delivering. Right? And you can pray for that for yourself and for other people. Right? That's a promise in God's word. That we don't have to be worried or afraid. That we can give that to God and He will give us peace in return. That's a great exchange. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:10. So you begin to understand how powerful prayer is, right? Especially in a day and time like this. Right? We're dealing with the adversary trying to kick everybody's butt with viruses and stuff, and we're dealing with depression and, you know, mental anxieties and things like that on a huge rise, right? These are two things that are easily taken care of through prayer, through effectual, fervent prayer, right? And people just have no idea that it's even available, right? Tell people you'll pray for them. Tell them. You have a conversation with somebody and they tell you something's up. Say, I'm so sorry, man. I will pray for you. I will pray for you. And then do it. Right? You'll be surprised how many people, you know, it takes them aback. And it opens up a door to speak the word to them. If nothing else, you can pray for them and then, you know, they can see things happen in their life. Right? Ephesians 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Right? So this last section here starts with finally. And it's to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on there the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. That's our true fight, right? There's physical manifestations of this stuff in the world, but the true fight is a spiritual one. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that it may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, right? So praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, perfect prayer, and watching thereunto, right? watching thereunto. Right? And that watching is like being mindful. Right? God implores us to be mindful with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for all the believers. So, part of being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, part of winning that spiritual battle is a steady diet of prayer. Whether that's prayer with our understanding or it's speaking in tongues, but being mindful of the needs of the body. Praying for all of God's people because it's powerful, because it affects things. Right? It's our weapon in the spiritual battle is to pray. Right? We can make our requests made known unto God and He hears us. He can do great things as we pray. Right? So standing strong for God is standing strong in continual prayer. We're going to close in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. So it is a powerful force. It's been really great to, you know, see all the different prayer requests out on the Harbor Light board and to be able to go through them and pray and see things come to pass. It's really an awesome opportunity for the body to really rally around together, especially in times like these where, you know, it's obvious the adversary is trying to get his foothold. Right? We should be seeking for ways to pray for each other and take care of one another. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. For being faithful to pray. Right? And those are three amazing tools that God has given to us. Right? That we have a hope we can rejoice in. Right? It sure sucks when people pass away. We've seen some of that recently. But we can rejoice in the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back and that we'll see our brothers and sisters again. We can be patient in tribulation, right? We cast our cares to God. He gives us peace that helps us to be patient and to wait expectantly for His response, right? So even in the tough time, even in the storm, that we can be patient and peaceful and that we can be faithful to pray, right? Because that prayer is effectual. It is going to be something that makes a difference. Prayer saved Daniel from the mouths of the lions. It gave many barren women children to enjoy. It healed the lame man. It defeated many armies against the Israelites. And the list goes on and on throughout the Bible, the power of prayer and the results that faithful men and women praying have produced. Right? So we should challenge ourselves to make it a more integral part of our lives. Right? Whether that's setting an alarm on your phone or just carving out that time every day to and a quiet space in your house. Just making that time every day, making it a priority, giving up something so that you ensure you have that time to pray is going to do so many more wonders and good for your life as you carve out that time and you make time with the Father.